The Rhode Island House of Representatives recently voted unanimously to end the so-called master lever, a relic of the state's urban political machine past. A conga line of statewide elected politicians, from Governor Lincoln Chafee down to Secretary of State Ralph Mollis, support this change. Good government groups in Rhode Island's beleaguered Republican Party have been campaigning vigorously to curb straight party ballots. And many in the media, especially the editorial pages of the Providence Journal, have been on a crusade to scuttle it. The master lever isn't even a master lever anymore. It was dubbed the master lever when voters cast ballots in those big, boxy metal voting machines that were enclosed in a thick curtain to maintain privacy. With one flick of a lever at the top of the machine, a voter could cast a straight party ticket without having to click the levers next to the names of each individual candidate. Proponents say it will end voter confusion and require that those casting ballots take the time to more carefully consider down-ballot candidates and referenda questions. Republican State Chairman Mark Smiley has a more self-interested reason. He thinks it will make the GOP more competitive. Elimination of this option will, quote, restore a more balanced two-party system in Rhode Island, says Smiley. Others make more elaborate claims, asserting that repeal would end government corruption and usher in a better economy. Proponents of repeal are correct about one element. Rhode Island is out of sync with national trends on this issue. Just 14 states still allow straight party voting. They range from our cobalt blue state to such red state conservative redoubts as Texas, South Carolina, and Kentucky. Yet it's hard to see how abolishing the master lever will lead to either political change or act as a remedy for the low voter turnout that plagues our state and most others. Without comprehensive changes, the master lever issue won't mean much. Why isn't the Assembly exploring options that would make elections more accessible to citizens who live busy lives but want to participate in government? That would mean offering early voting, which other states have adopted, or same-day voter registration, which would also expand the franchise. And how about doing something about those long lines at the polls, especially in urban districts? There's nothing to discourage a voter like standing in line for an hour outside a polling booth on a chilly November night. The Assembly could also do a serious study of the state's voter identification law, a solution groping for a problem if there ever was one. Politics doesn't play by the rules of civics books and Common Cause of Rhode Island. So don't be surprised if we get rid of straight party voting and nothing much changes. Rhode Islanders have been forever ticket splitters. In 1964, Democratic presidential candidate Lyndon Johnson won the state in an avalanche of a landslide. That same year, Republican Governor John Chafee was easily reelected governor. The Ocean State has not gone Republican in a presidential campaign since Ronald Reagan's 49-state sweep in 1984, yet we haven't elected a Democratic governor since Bruce Sundlin won in 1992. As for the economy, Rhode Island flourished as a manufacturing powerhouse both before and after institution of the master lever. Republicans think this change will make for two-party parity in a state with an overwhelming Democratic majority on Smith Hill. Yet they need to recruit more competitive candidates, which has not happened in recent years. All over New England, voters are saying no to a Republican Party that's been captured by the Sun Belt, the Tea Party, and the states of the old Confederacy. There is not one Republican U.S. House member today representing any New England state. There is pressure on Senate President Teresa Pivoweed to allow a vote on elimination. So straight party voting may well be sent to the dustbin of history, but voters shouldn't expect that to change much of anything on Smith Hill.